This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Bill Lawrence going to join us for a second consecutive day. Our friend going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Starting Monday, November 9th, you can stream our show daily on ESPN+. Also with ESPN+, you could stream Greeny, the Max Kellerman Show, and Shanae Ngola Jr., and you can also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, SiriusXM, and the ESPN app.
So he has created a bunch of shows that you might know, Cougar Town, Spin City, Ted Lasso, Scrubs, and we are looking around here for a little bit of positivity, a little bit of Ted Lasso during this difficult time. And so Bill Lawrence is joining us again because we have a number of different questions. But before we get to him, Christine, please finish up what you were saying.
And finally, Peter Pan kills the Lost Boys in the original story.
Okay, delightful.
That's why we need Disney versions of everything.
Thank you.
You're right.
Well, said on behalf of the corporation, Christine. So Bill Lawrence is here with us, and I did not know, Bill, and thank you for making time for us. Again, I was not aware that Scrubs, that the first season that you averaged 11 million people, and that you eventually got to something that was the size of the television show Modern Family. And I wonder why I didn't know that. What was NBC doing in terms of marketing that show?
Hey, by the way, congrats once again on the complete move to Disney Plus.
It's not a move. Yeah, we're just available promotion on Disney Plus. It's not a move.
ESPN
we're not
Plus, guys.
We're not changing.
Get the platform.
It's
right.
Just it's just we'll be there on Monday, and we weren't there before. Please get it right, Bill Lawrence. Respect the brand.
You know, what was weird is the Scrubs was a dinosaur, man. It was a very weird show because it was on NBC but owned by Disney, you know, like you guys. And so NBC gained nothing from it financially. So no matter how well it did, that's why that show bounced around so much.
So how does it play out differently if not for that? Like, what are the appreciable differences for you?
You know what? The weirdest thing about TV is broadcast television is still the number one way to reach people. I mean, I do more streaming shows and stuff now, but like when I did Spin City, the amount of people that watched Mike Fox, you know, his kind of last episode of that show, is akin to, you know, the amount of people that watch like the NBA finals, you know, that watch Super Bowls and stuff. And it's just kind of gone down and down and down. Look, we can all point to everybody's, my father has 140 channels, and you know that's not good for anybody. And so we're at a time now that just TV audience is fragmented, and you'll never see audiences like that again.
But the content is better than it's ever been, right? At the highest 10%?
I think so, man, because you used to have this weird thing. I mean, look, it's one of the reasons I gravitate towards your show is that you used to have this weird thing when you worked in network television that you were trying to appeal to this giant, you know, group and not, you know, not try to just kind of write or provide content to people that get the show. You know what I mean? And I think that was kind of a hard target to hit, and even harder now. I mean, I think it's impossible to come up with something. Look, a metaphor for what we're going through right now as a country. It's very hard to come up with something that's for everybody, you know. And I think it's much more exciting when you can just write something that makes you and your friends giggle, you know.
A strategy that follows us to ESPN Plus beginning on Monday. So you wrote the season six finale to Scrubs, and you thought it was over at that point. Why wasn't it over, and why did you think it was over? Because you were writing that at the finish, like if you didn't think there were going to be two more seasons, right?
Yeah, you know, I always knew the end of that show, and I thought we did it in a deserted hospital. It was a bunch of friends, and so I thought it was a goof that I even got to do that for a living. You know, so I thought it was over because there was a writer strike came down, and kind of network TV was getting blasted. And again, the show wasn't owned by NBC, you know, and so they had no kind of financial incentive to keep it on. But you know, we switched the show over very odd and rare, but it switched to, that show switched to another network for its end, over to ABC, to Disney, where your show now airs on Disney Plus.
Thank you.
Bill, more options. Is that, in your opinion, better or worse for the future of television? I find it to be very confusing. I don't like to have a lot of options.
Look, man, I'm getting old, and so I've reached the age now that my kids will tell me about a cool show, and if I can't find it immediately, I just go, I'm never going to see it, because just the hassle of finding it is half the battle. But I do like that I don't find my – I mean, we forget, you know, back when you had like three or four channels, everybody would always watch some kind of crap sandwich show that was in between the show they liked at 8 and the show they liked at 9. Remember, yeah. Remember when you would burn a half hour of your life?
Quaint time. Just unbelievable. It is unbelievable when you say that, and it is unbelievable to hear someone your age say simply, if it's too hard to find, I'm out, no matter how good it is. Like, you know quality television. How can you be such an oaf about that?
Especially someone touting a show on Apple. Especially someone touting a show on Apple, ESPN Plus, whatever it is.
I think it's because there's so many choices. You know, you could. Here's the good side of it. You could make a list of 10 great shows on right now, and before you have a chance to finish them all, there's going to be 5 or 10 new ones. I think that's fun.
The first season of Ted Lasso is available now on Apple TV Plus. They've been renewed for seasons 2 and 3. It is a very popular show. How did you get Marcus Mumford to do the music for your show?
That is Jason Sudeikis' victory, man. You partner up with fame. The weirdest thing about all these streaming sites now, man, is that it's I'm sure when you guys started out, there's a pressure to book, you know, big names, big athletes, whoever's in the zeitgeist at the moment. And the streaming business is really moved by what actor or actress. It's like building a film. You're like, hey, I'm doing a show starring Jason Sudeikis, or hey, I'm doing something starring Bradley Cooper, whatever it is. But with that stuff comes the ability for those guys, the people that you can never find, they just pick up their phone and text them and say, oh, he said yes. You know, it takes like 10 seconds.
He mentioned, and he is totally right about this, that the greatest of the sports radio shows go after the biggest and best guests. We are presently trying to get our guy Lenny Shoulders, the man who fell into a sinkhole onto a pile of rats in New York City. We're hoping to get him before noon during these times. Who's more creative, Sudeikis or Olivia Wilde, his wife?
Yeah, it's an interesting. By the way, he'll tell you first. They are partners, but they are not married. What a cool success story for her, man! Is someone I knew of as an actress, and she has become not only one of the biggest female directors, one of the biggest film directors right now, you know, out there. And so, kind of watching that good-natured competition within their own family, it's. I would say I'm annoyingly jealous, but I'm also happy for him.
Well, you didn't really answer the question, though.
Yeah, but yeah, do you see how I dodge, man? It's the time of politics.
Well, because, I mean, I wonder, though, like, if they would acknowledge, if one would acknowledge about the other, oh, he's funnier than I am, or she's funnier than I am.
No, you know, I think they see things in a different way. Short-sightedness on Jason is people don't really, you know, they see him as a performer, and people don't realize he was a writer on SNL first. You know, he started writing sketches and worked his way onto the cast. And so the dude's crazy creative. You know, for me, it's you know, about who you hitch your wagons to. And I mean, I'm a good comedy writer, but I love having a star that's as good, if not even a better writer for this project than I am. And I think his wife has, I said wife, you screwed me over. She has such a great visual sense, you know, that which directors do. I don't know if she's as much of a writer, but that's only because I don't know as much about her career.
The first season of Ted Lasso, available now on Apple TV Plus. We meant to ask you this yesterday, and we almost let you go today without asking you about the plane crash you survived. So talk to you about it tomorrow?
Yeah, about same time.
Yeah, yep. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day, man.
All right.
Enjoy.
See you later.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
All right.
No anxiety.
All right. See
you. No anxiety. It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. At time.
We will get to that plane crash with him tomorrow because we're not making that up.
We have another day, though.
Don Lebatard.
Did South Carolina get into the Final Four?
Nah.
Stugatz.
Excellent work by you on the production side and the research side. Meh is an excellent answer.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. We'll get to the conversational part in a second. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Conversational. Go.
Well, you can go. Stupidity. Where are we in stupidity land this week? What is coming out? What are you doing?
I love two bands. I've told you this before. The Grateful Dead and Pearl Jam, one of the co-creators of Pearl Jam, Stone Gossard. It was very thrilling for me to sit down with him for 45 minutes. Great conversation. He joins us today. On today's episode, we release it today, of Stupidity, and later this week, the guys from Weekend Observations.
Did I hear you spitting curses because Sarah Spain is also talking to
you
him?
Did. You heard that correctly. Yeah, you did.
That's What She Said is the name of that podcast. If you're a really giant Pearl Jam fan and you want to hear two different people interview.
within the same network. Now, listen, and you know me because I'm very thorough. So I called Sarah. I said, give me every question you asked Stone so I don't ask the same question. So they're entirely different interviews. I mean, because you know me. I'm very thorough like that.
Well, then why were you cursing under your breath? Did she release hers first? Did she release her interview before you released yours?
I asked for 1 week separation, and clearly I did not get that. Now, we left it as we both knew we were having Stone Gossard on. I don't want to do this to the commission. It's not going to end well to me. But she was going to release something else this week. I was going to release Stone. She couldn't release the something else she was going to release. She released Stone, I released Stone, and so there were dueling Stones out there. I mean, that's all I can tell you. I don't know. Mine's better.
Yeah, but we can all agree. You make exceptions for the gets that everybody wants. And if you can't make the exception for a rhythm guitarist that was with a band that you loved several years ago, like,
I mean, Howard
what
Stern,
point do you?
Howard Stern and Eddie Vedder for 3 hours.
Yes, well.
3 hours!
Bill Lawrence just told you what you need to know about shows. And their guest lists. Eddie Vedder was on with Howard Stern for 3 bleeping hours. But if you don't want Eddie Vedder, if you want a more obscure look at Pearl Jam, can get it in 2 different places. That's What She Said.
Yeah.
And Stupidity. You were cursing under your breath.
Yesterday. I was, yeah. And thank you for the promotion. I appreciate it. Check out either one. It doesn't matter. We both love Pearl Jam. I love Stone Gossard. So does Sarah Spain. I'm very upset.
Mike, why are you laughing?
I mean, he knows.
Just the show.
So we've got a quote here from Stan Van Gundy on Twitter, the new New Orleans coach. He's not even just like
new
an
Orleans.
Announcer, no.
Yeah.
Now he is now a basketball coach in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He immediately went to miserable as soon as he took that job. I can no longer get a hold of him. He's just somewhere. He's got Zion, and suffering begins now. But he writes, and he only got on Twitter in order to write things before the election. He had never been on Twitter before. 1,130 Americans died from the coronavirus on Election Day. And Trump has a great chance to win re-election. You've got a whole lot of people, Stugatz, pointing out, a lot of athletes saying, you know, stay in the voting lines, being politically active. And you've got this sentiment that Stan Van Gundy and Dwayne Wade are retweeting from Josh Hart. The fact that people really voting for this racist to stay in power shows you how this country really feels behind closed doors. And what I do think has become evident here beyond sports and with, you know, what we're seeing happening in this country, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on. The Miami Herald and some places in Miami are reporting that the percentages are pretty damn high on ballots that the post office couldn't even get to here in a deciding state of Florida. And what has been illuminating, no matter where this election ends up as a result, The race problem in this country is worse than I ever imagined. And from numbers in a loud voice that echo across America today, whatever it is, the result, just about half of you don't seem to either care very much about race, care at all about race, or some of you are just flatly racist. So you've got basically half the country looking at this and just simply saying, I'm not interested. Race is not going to be my priority on this one, because there is no disputing that racial divisions have been sown. You saw the president of this country using these sports leagues as political tools. You saw him. Colin Kaepernick's birthday was yesterday. You heard him call anyone who knelt before a flag, sons of bitches. And you saw he went to war with the NBA and its social justice messages. And there are any number of athletes throughout the land, although not the Pouncey brothers, any number of athletes throughout the land who would look at the racial divisions being sown there, say they're obvious, and then you've got half, just about half of the country saying, yeah, I don't really care so much about that. That's not interesting to me. I'm not putting it at the top of the list of my priorities when I vote for a leader.
But some of that half could also be saying, hey, I just put myself and my family in front of anything and everything, and that's how
but
I'm
then you
vote.
Don't you don't care okay
then you don't care that much
but you but don't you, care right, that much it's right. Not a very high on your priority list right. In any way, if you're seeing what's happened over the last 4 years specifically as it relates to race. And because this is for a lot of people, that look, there are a lot of people voting, hey, please don't embarrass me anymore, but there are a lot of people voting because just 4 years of wrong, like they just feel on the wrong side of history on some of this stuff. And black athletes don't feel welcome at what is literally the White House. Black athletes don't feel welcome there. The guys that Trump put next to his family were from UFC. That you couldn't get people from the mainstream sports who were black to be anywhere near his.
Well, it's stoking more division. There's a chance of LeBron James sucks at rallies. That's usually not part of a presidential platform. DeAndre Hopkins goes viral because there's a photo of him purportedly giving a finger to Trump supporters. But he himself was part of the group that was called an SOB. So
the division is obvious. It's obvious to everyone that is watching sports. It's not something that you can avoid in any way. And America has spoken loudly, okay? Just know on this, okay? Just be clear on this. When you say that's not who we are, half of you are. Like, that's not who we are. Like, a whole lot of you, that is who we are.
Don Lebatard.
I feel like everything we just did was racially insensitive, and I'm good with it.
Stugatz.
It is deadline day.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Don Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
So we have to get to Christine Lisi in a second, Stugatz, because she is a wonderful addition that softens everything that we end up doing around here, and we shouldn't delay anymore. We keep interrupting her. It's an annoying habit we have. So forgiveness, Christine. Please continue.
And finally, a Japanese man once noticed food disappearing from his home, so he set up a webcam and he discovered a homeless woman had been living in his closet for an entire year. Speaking of disappearing food, Dan, back to you.
Oh, I was going to say, I was watching her and I was screaming
how
at her
get there, right?
From upstairs. Billy, how are we doing in our search for Lenny Shoulders, the guy who fell into a sinkhole in New York and landed on a pile of rats? Are you feeling confident about this happening today? It doesn't seem like this is going to be something that happens in the next half hour.
It does not seem like today is going to happen, but the quest is ongoing, Dan.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate an ongoing quest to get this guy on. It was interesting. I thought the reaction when we were talking about this earlier, I thought that you, me, and Chris Cody proved to be more squeamish than the rest of the crew around here, because in telling the details of the story, talking about the story, we were doing pacifying gestures to our body as we told the story of a guy who fell through a sinkhole suddenly. He's just walking along, and he starts falling, and what breaks his fall is just a pile of rats underneath the sinkhole in New York City. Rats that are hungry, as we've mentioned, because a lot of rats without the normal restaurant feeding that they're used to doing are hungry in New York.
It's not the sinkhole that got me squeamish and scratching and itching my arm. It's not that. That's horrifying, by the way. It wasn't that. It's falling to a bed of rats in the dark. That's when I started scratching my arm. I don't know why I did
that. Well, no, but all three of us had the same reaction, but Mike was stoic for some reason. Tony and Billy, who admitted to a fear of not only sinkholes, but meteors and asteroids.
Of course.
Do we ever find out what the difference is between a meteor and an asteroid?
It's probably best for me not to know.
Yep. Okay, yes, yep. Because of how the depths of your fear.
Yep.
Speaking of not knowing anything, what happened to your beloved NFL trade deadline? You guys were telling me yesterday that yesterday is the day that Super Bowls are won and lost, and all I saw was Vic Beasley get released. Yep. After you guys, you're like, deadline day, trades.
Sadly, no one won a Super Bowl yesterday, but also no one lost one. I feel pretty certain about that.
It was a missed opportunity for some teams, Dan, and you know how a lot of people are getting mad at Nate Silver right now because we're still trying to figure out who the president is? I'm mad at all these insiders and shows like Get Up and NFL Live that led me to believe this might be the most active NFL trade
in
history because of the playoff expansion. More teams are in it, more buyers out there, and teams trying to get rid of cap, thinking that the cap may remain flat or even go down next year. I thought this was going to be historic. And it was a fart noise.
Yep, you're right. The big news was Desmond King. The Titans were the winners. They got a 25-year-old former All-Pro cornerback. But on the article I'm reading, that was the one winner. The losers were all of us. That's it. We all lost yesterday.
Is there going to be Thursday night football this week?
Idea. That would seem really, really unsafe right now. The 49ers, it's supposed to be 49ers-Packers, right? Mm-hmm. We have no idea. Neither team, I can name you neither of the starting running backs right now, because the running back rooms in San Francisco, it's because of injury. In Green Bay, it's a combination of injury and COVID outbreak and people that have been exposed to the virus. So the 49ers have just shut down their facility. Green Bay was dealing with their COVID issue, and now this mass unit of a team in San Francisco now has to deal with their facility being shut down. I don't really see, if I were handicapping it, I don't think the Thursday night football game is going to go on as scheduled.
To Mike's point, Aaron Jones is injured. Jamal Williams is one of the people who may have COVID. I don't think we know yet.
Been exposed to because A.J. Dillon did test positive for it.
What do you think they're doing with Aaron Rodgers? Totally separate building right now? What do you think?
I mean, well, you want to break down the football of this? Because if we're going to break down the football of this, the Packers would really like to play the 49ers in the condition that they're in. It's not exactly a game that they would like to lose. I just think that I want to marvel at the fact that we continue to do this in the grabs for money. And, like, how the hell are we going to get to the end of this? How is this going to be something that functions for the remainder of the season when they're already talking about 16 playoff teams?
That's how.
Again, shame on Chris Mortensen for throwing that totally awesome idea. It's built on unfortunate circumstances, but for a team that, you know, is in the mix, has their helmet in the graphic, but not locked in, that's an extra shot at getting into the playoffs, Dano.
I mean, 8 teams in each conference, Mike, just about everyone's in the mix. The Jets might still be in the mix.
I don't want man, last year Mason Rudolph would have been in the playoffs. I'm so tired of seeing even Brian Hoyer in that Texans Saturday game that ESPN always gets stuck with. Like, you want to dilute it even more after that?
The 8 seed right now in the AFC, it's a tie between the Raiders and the Dolphins. That'd be fun to see one of those two teams in there.
It would be fun, wouldn't it, Dan? Yeah.
You tell me if it'd be fun if the Raiders end up making some sort of run at not a championship, but knock out the Chiefs on the way there, and you're like, what are we doing?
Two impressive road victories for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Odd team.
Yeah, you know what else is weird?
Are they for real?
Well, I don't know.
Some weeks they are, some weeks they're not.
I'm still calling the LA Chargers the San Diego Chargers, but I've hit the ground running with this Las Vegas Raiders thing. It's been easy for me. You guys?
I have not yet got used to it, but it has been easier, yeah. I will admit, that
why
San Diego
is that?
Chargers. I don't know why that is.
I mean, the Lions would be on the cusp of getting that last playoff spot in the NFC.
Oh, let's go.
I mean, 3-5.
Let's go. The most disappointing thing from the NFL Sunday was that Philip Rivers and Matthew Stafford didn't have one for the ages. Because I thought, we all thought, Scott Hansen would just be locked in on that, and that would be the entirety of the witching hour. And it was a blowout.
Underrated Colts day, huh?
Really good.
Chris, why are you wondering if it isn't better to hit the ground jogging or even walking in the chat than running?
I mean, I don't know why you have to hit the ground running. Like, you can just take your time, pace yourself. You don't want to pull anything.
Right. He's into it, yeah.
So you're worried about getting injured. You just leaned into the Zoom, and it made me think of something here that I'd like to tell the younger listeners in the audience who don't know what it is or who it is that I'm talking about. I need you guys, before I get to the end of this story, to Google Rusty Staub, okay? Yeah. I need you...
I know exactly what he looks like. I'm good.
Okay, that's fine. But for those who don't know, and the show and the world isn't just about you, those who don't know Rusty Staub, I would like for them to see visually what this person looks like.
It's very important. I know where Dan's going. The greatest pinch hitter in the history of Major League Baseball, by the way.
No, ask
Kirchin. No, ask him right
now.
He'll
probably say Matt Stairs.
I'll ask him.
I don't know if that is the truth of what it is that you're saying. I will say, though, that Rusty Staub visually and physically looked, I would say, unlike anyone who has ever played baseball at the major league level, because he was not only sort of heavy roly-poly, but he was also extremely orange, and he played in those Mets uniform colors, so they would call him Le Grand Orange.
I wonder where you're going with this.
Well, the place that I'm going with this is your father-in-law, by way of, I don't think, compliment, said that Chris Cody looks like Rusty Staub. And I think that he's insulting his son-in-law. I think he is actively and aggressively trying to insult his son-in-law.
Well, wait a minute. I Google Rusty Staub. There are a few pictures of him that are very unflattering. But I can see, I've found a couple pictures where it's like, I could see that being me. Yeah. I think what he said was a better looking version of Rusty Staub.
Mm-hmm. That's the way you heard it, huh?
That's not how I remembered it. I wasn't really trying to flex my knowledge. He's got one of those faces that you would never forget. It's not because he's handsome.
It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. At time.
That is war with a family member. That is such a high-grade insult.
Dan Le Batard.
Oh, God, you are so annoying. You, dude. You. You.
Stugatz.
Talk to the head.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's for Lunch is brought to you by HelloFresh. Get a total of $80 off using code Dan at HelloFresh.com. Everyone on the show loves HelloFresh. I am not having a HelloFresh meal today, though. Those are at home. I have a beautiful, I just ordered them, by the way, a couple of tacos from Naked Taco that I'll be picking up after the show. I will shove them down my throat on the drive home. Michael, what are you having for lunch today?
Well, the great thing about HelloFresh is that it has me brimming with confidence, because when I successfully execute one of these recipes, I feel like I got it now. And I've caught the bug, and I'm cooking all sorts of meals for myself. On Sunday, I made a wonderful black bean champagne risotto con lechon and aguacate. It was amazing. So I think I'm going to prepare myself a nice little chicken Philly when I get home.
Excellent.
At Le Batard Show is where you vote on the polls. If you're not watching what's going on in Oregon, where they are decriminalizing drug use, our states are clearly not united in a number of different ways. And one of them is in Florida, okay, where there is some abundance of drug use. You can't just up and buy marijuana, but in Oregon very soon you will be able to buy, evidently, marijuana or decriminalize marijuana, not only marijuana, but cocaine and heroin.
Well, I have to stop you because you mushrooms. Make it seem like they're going to be selling this out of shops.
Decriminalize is what I said. I corrected myself there.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the case, and I'm willing to reserve judgment on it because there's very compelling arguments to be made for treatment rather than punishment. We'll see.
But you will be able to walk into a shop and buy marijuana.
Yeah,
just not cocaine.
Yeah, I doubt heroin. They're going to be heroin dispensaries going on.
We're headed there at Lebatard Show. It's going to be Amsterdam. The United States is just going to be Amsterdam. At Lebatard Show on Twitter, Stugat. How many polls do we have today? It feels like we've got a lot of them.
We have 9 today, Dan.
All right, let's do it.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Wow, big question of the day here, Dano. Are you winning the pennant with 9 Hal Morrises? It's a great question. It really is. 64% of the audience said no. What is scarier, falling into a sinkhole, falling on a pile of rats? It's the pile of rats, right? It has to be. It does. 67% of the audience said the rats. Do you know the difference between a meteor and an asteroid? What I know is these things keep coming very close to hitting our planet, and we should be more alert. That's all I'm saying. That's what I know about both of these things.
Didn't Neil deGrasse Tyson say recently that one the size of a refrigerator was going to hit here this like now?
A refrigerator.
Yeah,
that's nothing. I'm not rolling out of bed for that.
Fridge. Yeah, that's yeah.
I could do a lot of damage, I think.
I mean, William Perry?
At Lebatard Show on Twitter.
67% of the audience said no.
Got they lost the there because you were doing the jazz hands on William Perry?
That and I'm tired. Do you love a good Allen wrench? Funny question. That was Chris's question or Chris's statement. 77% of the audience said yes. Which do you like doing less, assembling furniture or moving? Mike assembled some furniture. His back hurts. Moving is a disaster. 82% of the audience said moving. Is everyone sore after being on the floor for 4 hours? I think everyone is, with the exception of Giannis. I don't know what I'm doing there, but I just...
The fact that you keep making weird. It Giannis, I don't understand why you keep making it Giannis.
It's a good shout, though, because I don't think he's ever gotten out of bed or from a couch and just gone, ah!
Right.
I think he just gets up.
Young.
Yeah. 88% of the audience said yes. How many knuckles does each finger have? Great, great question by Billy. Observation, whatever it was at the time.
I love the first 2 hours of the show.
So
today.
Much fun.
I really do.
1, 2, or 3 were your choices. 56% of the audience said 3. Have you ever seen Jason Kendall's hands? Odd question. We understand. That kind of day.
It's the way to end the election show.
You're right. 94% of the audience said... Nah.
All right. We will update more polls post-game show.